What is up, degenerates? Welcome to Beers and Buckets, the podcast for those who like beer and basketball. The only show that talks both of those things at the same time. We are part of Variety Sports Network. Check them out on Twitter at @variety_sports_. And totally missed it, but we are somehow sponsored by Home Field Apparel, Variety Sports is. So if you head over to Home Field Apparel and use the promo code Variety Sports, you get 15% off your first purchase. So go check that out. I'm rocking a Variety or a Home Field Apparel sweatshirt right now as we speak. Super dope. You should go check that out. Most comfortable clothes like ever, and they have the best like vintage stuff, which is a little teaser for a new series we're going to do on TikTok called Is Your College Throwback Logo or Uniforms Good or Actually Good or Is It Nostalgic? So be on the lookout for that. Dal, what is up, man? How you doing?
Chilling. Went up to Lexington this past weekend, going to see the U.S. men's national team play Ghana tomorrow because they play in Nashville. We're just hanging out, excited for the guests tonight. It's another day closer to basketball, so can't complain about that.
Yeah, so if you couldn't tell by the episode title or I guess the YouTube title, if you're watching on YouTube, we are getting John Fanta from Field of 68, from College Basketball on Fox, from Big East Shoot Around. He's all over the place. He's going to be our guest tonight. And so quick story into how that happened, if you don't follow us on Twitter, is
cyberbullying is how that happened. Connor was being mean.
I was being mean, but really I was just being salty. But anyways, because we have a little bit of time before he joins, he had put out his top 25. A lot of people did not like his top 25, myself included. And he basically, he had excluded Kentucky from his top 25, which is a little egregious. Like, I didn't expect him to have number one, but to completely exclude them from it. And so, of course, I quote tweeted it from the Beers and Buckets account, not my personal one. I don't know why I did that. I just did it. Wasn't intentional. But I quote tweeted it. I said, hey, who is keeping this guy employed? Like, who is this guy blackmailing that's keeping him employed to talk college basketball? Some of his takes are just irresponsible. To which there was like three people that saw this because it was at like 12 o'clock at night or something like that. Three people had seen this in this tweet when it happened. And then I get a profile visit and then he follows Beers and Buckets on Twitter. And then I follow back and then he DMs us. He says, hey, I saw your tweet about blackmailing people. I'd love to come on the show and talk ball. So this is how we ended up here. And I was like, yeah, like basically I was being salty, but I'd love to have you on the show. Obviously, like it would be stupid for us to say no. And so here we are. This is how we got John Fanta onto a show that has very, very few listeners overall in the grand scheme of podcasts. So hopefully it boosts our stock. You know, maybe that and home field being a sponsor boosts our stock. There we go. So we do have a fantastic show for you tonight. So we're just gonna give a quick show rundown. We have we can do a beer review because he's gonna be a little later joining us. So we're gonna do a beer review. First one in a while. We have Fanta's takes. We're going to have some down. I have personal questions for him. We're going to have the opportunity for not just Kentucky. I know, Dal, you have here on the notes Kentucky corner, but I think we need to talk about some other schools as well. But yeah, definitely a focus on Kentucky, why he excluded Kentucky from the top 25. And then we have fan questions that we promised we'd answer. And then I think we should end with the last call if we have time. So great show plan for us tonight. Let's get into it, man.
Yep. I have a beer. I do actually drink beer on Beers and Buckets, contrary to popular belief. Now, this is the Belgian collection from New Belgium. This is their 1554. It is an enlightened dark ale brewed with spice. 6% ABV. Let's go to live taste test here. It's kind of dark. It says a dark ale, so that makes sense. Pretty smooth, though. Surprisingly bright taste with a dry chocolatey finish is the like tagline for it. I wouldn't say the most crushable beer, but it's definitely really smooth. wasn't as like strong of a taste as I was expecting. Overall, pretty solid. I'd give it a 3.65 on the Untappd rating of 1 to 3.5, since that's as high as they go.
What can you compare it to?
Comparing to a college basketball team, I'd say mine is going to ACC, but I don't want to do that. Here, let me look at I'm going to go. Actually, I'll do it. I'll go Miami. Solid. I feel like they're getting kind of underrated this year. I feel like they just kind of go underrated every year. Jim Larranaga always has them ready to go. They're always smooth. They have a bunch of guards. This is a very smooth beer. So I'll go with Miami.
All right, cool. I am drinking Tripping Animals Brewing, which is out of Miami, Florida, coincidentally. Pumpkin Delic. Awesome can design. So I'm giving it a 5 out of 5 on the can design, because you got this cute little raccoon playing with pumpkins. like, hypnotized by pumpkins. Obviously, it's Tripping Animals, so it's, like, high, I guess. But it's a brown ale brewed with pumpkin and spices, and it's 6% ABV. This is a pint. I poured it into one of my glasses here. Got a nice pour with a good head on it, so I'm excited for that.
We love that.
So let's give it a little taste. It's a good brown ale. The pumpkin's really strong, which is, in a brown ale, I think what I want. This is a really smooth brown ale. Man, I wouldn't say it's overly crushable, but crushable for a brown ale, if that makes sense. So I'll give it like a 3 out of 5 on the crushability. Can design, 5 out of 5. Let me do my quick math here as I give these ratings. 3 plus 5 plus, let's give, the aroma is not fantastic. I'm going to give it a 2 on aroma, because it's definitely, the pumpkin doesn't smell as strong, but the flavor is definitely a 5 out of 5. And then the appearance, yeah, pretty dark. I mean, it's brown ale, so I'll just give it like a 3 on the appearance. All right. And then it comes out to 3.6. So Untappd is on to something, rating every beer 3.5 out of 5. But, I mean, Untappd has this 3.58. So I'd say I'm pretty much, you know, it's batting average there. But it's still a good beer, and I recommend it if you like brown ales. If you don't like brown ales, I wouldn't get it. But even if you're not the biggest fan of brown ales, like, I'm not the biggest fan of IPAs, but there's some IPAs I will drink. This might be your brown ale if you're not a big brown ale person. So,
yeah, you know, that could be it.
Comparing it to something in college basketball or basketball in general. Let's go with, I feel like we do this all the time, but Syracuse, Jim Boeheim's zone defense, baby. If it's not for you, you're not going to like it. But if you like it, seeing zone in college basketball, it works. Plus, it's like pumpkins, orange, you know, you got to go with it. So we won't see this zone defense anymore, hopefully, from like that Boeheim run. So enjoy it while you had it kind of deal. Same thing, man.
I will not be enjoying Syracuse zone while we had it, but, you know, to each his own. I'll enjoy a pumpkin beer, though.
Yeah, pumpkin beers.
Do we think Syracuse is going to play zone? Apparently they're not, but I feel like that their roster is still very clearly built for zone. What do we think?
I don't know. I feel like the roster is not with the type of guards that they have. I think they're going to want to beat people in the perimeter, so I don't think they're going to want to have those guards switching up at the top. They play their normal 2-3. I don't know. This is not the time to discuss that, though. You know what time it is? It's time to get John Fanta on this podcast. So we're gonna take a break, watch his video, and then come back, and hopefully we have John Fanta on. So Beers and Buckets is also sponsored by SeatGeek. Get $20 off your first purchase on SeatGeek with promo code VSN. That's $20 off your first purchase on SeatGeek with promo code VSN. So go check that out. We are also sponsored by Row One. Get 15% off any art gallery item at Row One Brand with promo code VSP15. That's VSP15 for 15% off any art gallery item. So go check those two out. And now let's get back to the show. All right, we're here with John Fanta of Field of 68, College Basketball on Fox, and the Big East Shoot Around. So, John, how you doing tonight, man?
Guys, I'm doing well. It's great to be on the Beers and Buckets podcast. We're 3 weeks away from college basketball season, and I was happy to interact with you guys on social media this past week. I know we got a lot to talk about. All in good fun. I love Big Blue Nation, and I'm excited for this. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thanks for using your platform to promote smaller shows like us. We really appreciate that, especially you had no reason to do that when we talk crap to you, but we do appreciate you doing that.
It is you.
Yeah, it was just me. But all right, so we want to open the floor for you to have some takes. So Dal, why don't you lead us on this one?
Yeah, just wanted to kind of go through. I've been going through and listening to a bunch of your recent shows, but just want to kind of see, first one is the team that you're highest on this year and the team that you're lowest on this year, this kind of across college basketball.
Well, I think the team that I'm highest on is Michigan State. I mean, I think they can win the national championship. I think it's Tom Izzo's best chance to win a national title in the remainder of his career. I really believe that, guys. He's got Tyson Walker, an elite closer. He's got A.J. Hogard, who plays with a chip on his shoulder, distributes the basketball at a high level. And in the last portion of the season, Hogard and Walker were playing as well as any backcourt duo that you're going to watch in college basketball.
For sure.
So for me, I'm really bullish on the Spartans. I mean, when you combine experience, over 80% of their scoring is back. Tom Izzo's kind of gone against the grain in college hoops, as opposed to other big-time programs, by not taking as many transfers. I mean, he'll take a transfer. He took Walker. Walker was a transfer from Northeastern. You know, if Xavier Booker, the five-star big man, pans out, I'm betting on the fact that he will. And I'm saying that not because just of Booker's talent. I'm saying that because of who Booker's playing with. Your life gets easier when you're in his shoes, when you can practice with Mati Sissoko.
Yeah,
and you
definitely
can practice. You could practice with guards. So I'm bullish on Michigan State. Who am I lower on than most? I mean, I know everybody listening out there would say, well, you're lower on Kentucky than most, but we'll talk about them in a moment. I mean, I'll tell you, you know, when I look across the country, I'm probably lower on USC than most. I'm skeptical of the Trojans. I think they bring in the number one freshman in America in Isaiah Collier. And I think as a result, people have just by default put them in the top 15. You know, they still lost Reese Dixon Waters. They still have some questions on their roster. The front court's a bit of a question. They're going to count on Joshua Morgan to be able to step up for them. But look, outside of Boogie Ellis, you know, this team has some things that they've got to be able to figure through. So I probably am not as high on USC as others are. Because I'm a little bit skeptical of the front court. And, you know, we don't even know if Bronny James is going to see the floor. And I hope Bronny's okay. I hope everything ends up all right with him. But there's still some questions that I have for USC. I think a lot of national media are putting them in the top 15 because it's sexy and it's compelling. But I don't know if I'm buying that stock all the way.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't even know if I'm buying that Collier is going to be the best freshman in the Pac-12 this year.
I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. You know, the other team, I mean, in your conference, the SEC, I'll be quite honest with you, I'm lower on Tennessee than probably anybody.
I don't get the Tennessee hype either.
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, they play a very – not about watching them. Okay, if you win ugly, San Diego State won ugly and found a way. FAU won with grit. You know, you could win with grit. But Tennessee – by virtue of their offensive style, guys, is almost too disciplined. So they get stuck in the mud. The players, I don't think Rick Barnes necessarily allows his guys to play with a ton of freedom. And as a result, it limits what they can be on offense.
Yeah, yeah. I'm also just not buying it when your best player, one of your best players, is 5'9". I've been on the receiving end of that. I just can't. It sucks. So I can't go into a season saying like, yeah, one of the best players on the best teams in the country is 5'9", and they're gonna be in contention for a title. I'm just not buying that. So I'm with you on that one.
For sure. And we don't know what Zakai Ziegler, what the status is there. You know, this is a team that has some things to figure out in that regard as well. So that's what concerns me with the Vols. And guys, remember, they brought in Chris Ledlam, the Harvard transfer, and then he transferred out. I mean, that was a big loss. If you look at his numbers at Harvard, he was a really productive player there.
Yeah, he would have been a big help for them.
He would have been.
For sure, for sure. Now, what's the next one we got for him?
We're going to go – I know you have your Big East show. What's your just kind of elevator pitch? Not that you really have to pitch anyone in college basketball on the Big East and being able to watch them, but what's your couple-sentence pitch for what to watch out for in the Big East and what's going to be the most compelling stuff going on in that conference this year?
Three of the top eight teams in the AP Top 25 poll play in the Big East.
Yeah,
the reigning national champions aren't going to be the favorite in the conference.
It's kind of crazy.
I mean, that's absurd. Marquette has the best point guard in college basketball, in my humble opinion, in Tyler Kolek. I think he is chip on your shoulder. Not going to lie, Grayson Allen type of personality, but I think it's good. I think it's good for them. I think it gives them swagger. And I just think the coaches, that's my elevator pitch, the coaches. Rick Pitino, Dan Hurley, Shaka Smart, Greg McDermott, Ed Cooley at Georgetown. Like, even the back half teams have some compelling storylines. So, for me, you know, Thad Matta's a coach of the Big East. I mean, who would have thunk? You know, and Butler won't be all that good, but, like, you're going to watch. Like, if you're a college hoops junkie, you'll take in a Thad Matta coach team because you respect him, because he did have one of the great runs in college hoops history at Ohio State. So, for me, I look at the coaching. I look at players like Donovan Clingan, Ryan Kalkbrenner, great big men, Baylor Shireman, Trey Alexander. All you have to do is watch Creighton and Marquette play offense to be interested in the product. That's my pitch.
Yeah, fair enough, man. Fair enough.
And I didn't even bring up Villanova, who should have a bounce-back season with Justin Moore, Eric Dixon, and then a slew of transfers, including Tyler Burden, Lance Ware, who I don't think will have a major contribution. I think he'll come off the bench. Akeem Hart from Maryland and TJ Bamba from Washington State. Yep.
Yeah,
they're gonna be really good. I feel like that I was higher than Connor on our Big East preview, but we both got to Butler and we're like, Thad Matta's the coach of this team. When did that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere. It did.
Yeah.
All right, just in general, actually, well, one thing on the Big East, if I give you two teams here that got drafted, just looking at trying to see who's picking more guys that will finish in the top three of the all Big East teams this year, which side are you taking? On one side, we have Ryan Kalkbrenner, Donovan Clingan, Eric Dixon, Tristan Newton, and Osa Agoradaro from Marquette. And then on the other side, we have Tyler Kolek, Bryce Hopkins, Justin Moore, Trey Alexander, and Joel Soriano. Which side do you like better there?
The second one.
No.
Yes. Let's go.
Come on.
Now you hate me even more.
you're on Connor's good side again, though.
Yep, you're on my good side again there, Fanta.
Yeah, I just like Kolek, Hopkins. I think Alexander could be an NBA player.
I think he definitely is.
We are high on Trey Alexander over here. We've been on his side for a while. So yeah, I had to steal him from down there. Yeah, we do a team draft on every preview show in our Big East episode. Dal had the first pick. He went with Kalkbrenner, rightfully so. And then it just kind of went. We snake it. So then I had Kolek and Bryce Hopkins. But that's kind of how we construct our all Big East teams there. So you know, I end up winning that poll on Twitter, and he was frustrated with it. So, all right, let's get into some questions that we just have for you real quick. And then we don't want to keep you all night, and we know you're traveling, so we don't want to keep you all night, but we have some questions for you just kind of like to get to know the person behind the analyst. You know what I mean? Because
sure.
I think a lot of times we just see a take and then we're like, wow, this guy sucks or this person sucks, and then we don't get to know the person behind them, be like, wow, they're actually a person that's cool and want to hang out with. So and I'm obviously guilty of that. Just, you know, just full transparency. So Dal, you have some questions for John here.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your, in terms of like, if you were established, like putting together a roster, say you get, you start the, you start a team in the Big East and you're putting together a team. What kind of play style is your team going to have? And what kind of roster construction are you going to try and have to make up that team?
Well, we got to find multi-dimensional 6'5" to 6'7" / 6'8" type of players. I want combo guards. I want wings. I want versatility. I want to be able to switch defensively. I want to be able to rebound the basketball at a high level, and I want to be able to shoot the basketball from the perimeter. But I understand college basketball, guys. Let's face it. You could talk about being a great shooting team, but how many great, I mean, I said the word great, shooting teams are there in college basketball? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I could sit here all day and say, I want to be elite as a shooting team. Well, we all do. I mean, all of us do. I need to find a combination that's switchable defensively, all right? I don't need to run full court press, but I want to be able to do some trapping, to be able to man up. And then on the offensive end of the floor, I don't want to just be call a play and that's what we're running. I want to be principle-based. I would love a mobile big. I want to be able to have a mobile big who could screen and roll, could screen and slip, but more than anything, it's the aggressor. So for me, I want to move the basketball, and I want us to be an unselfish team that relies on versatility and creating mismatches.
I like the height supremacy take. I'm a known height supremacist on this show. if I was recruiting a team, there's like, yeah, I'm going no one under 6'5", unless they are like the elite of the elite. That's pretty solid construction there.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Well, I appreciate that. And you know what? You got to have elite guard play. You got to have experienced guard play.
Yeah.
And you know what? You don't need – like, the thing is, we talk about these seven-footers, but are they amounting to national championships? And the answer to that question is no. I mean, not to the same degree that people would like them to. Now, maybe this year will be different, and maybe Zach Edey will break through, or maybe we'll see size win. But – look, as far as I'm concerned, your center doesn't have to be taller than 6'9". If he's got an unlimited motor and is looking at Adama Sanogo this past year, it can be done. Yep. It can be done. But you have got to be able to have at least one lethal catch-and-shoot weapon that keeps the defense honest.
Yep. Absolutely. We have a running joke here now after we did our Big 12 episode that – if you look back, the last two National Player of the Years, their respective teams have lost in the first round in the year that they've won National Player of the Year. And so as a Kentucky fan, I am obviously rooting for Hunter Dickinson to win National Player of the Year so that Kansas will be bounced in the first round for the first time in program history, you know, higher than like a 4 seed or whatever. So, yeah, Hunter Dickinson for National Player of the Year. You heard it here first.
Look, he could win it. I mean, there's no question he could win it.
Absolutely.
But there's things for Kansas to figure out this year. We don't know. We don't know what kind of shooting team they're going to be from the perimeter.
Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be their Achilles heel is perimeter scoring.
Absolutely. Dal, I'm going to take this next question here, and we'll just like swap questions. So, John, if you couldn't cover college basketball for whatever reason it may be, if for some reason you were told you can't cover college basketball, what other sport would you cover? And I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess maybe football, because I saw just yesterday you were at the Browns game. Congratulations on that big win, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know what? I was going to say baseball, but then I thought about 162 nights in a season. That's a lot of work. Not that I don't pass up on work. I'm going to work for it, but I think the football reporters have it easier. You know, then there's the other argument that the football reporters have more of an off season. They got to be busy with that. They got the draft, you know, MLB is more games, but I'm going to vote for football here. I love football. I haven't covered it a ton, but I do love it. And thank you for the congratulatory note. If I couldn't do either of those, what would I do? I gotta tell you guys, I think the tennis is really fun. I find tennis to be really cool. I think the majors are fun. I'd be fine with tennis or golf. You'll find with me. I look, if it's on, I'm gonna watch it. I'm a sports guy. That's just who I am.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're right there with you, man. We are right there with you with that. So
go ahead. I went to Wake Forest, so, and got to live with a couple of guys on the tennis team. So after that, got really into both college tennis and pro tennis. Great sport. It's such a fun watch.
Yeah, it really is. It really is fun. And I mean, the highest level of tennis is really, really something else. I did horse racing this past year. I loved it. You know, I love doing horse racing. I think it's really cool and really fun. Did I understand everything there needed to be understood about it? No, but I enjoy being around it.
I feel like that you're in the vast majority there if you don't understand much about horse racing, because everyone that bets on it, I'm pretty sure, is in that same boat.
That's bingo. That's right. That's the point of betting on it. Everybody feels like they got an equal shot.
Exactly. On the kind of topic of being in the media, what's like it can either be a take or a narrative or just like something about being a part of the kind of national media. What's the thing that annoys you the most about it and that you wish you could either change maybe it's like some kind of misinformation out there or what, just like something you could change about being in the national media?
Well, great question. It's actually, that's really an awesome question, Mike.
Appreciate it.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, I think that there's this narrative that the NCAA tournament is going to have to expand. It doesn't have to do anything. Okay, it's the best postseason in sports. I don't want to hear about why you have to expand to please the rich so they get richer. Oh, they could break off. You know what? Anybody that's trying to break off, that's ridiculous, okay? And I don't even entertain that thought. It should never be changed. It ought to never be changed. That's one thing. And then the other thing is, I'll be honest with you guys, I'm not a fan of when people say that, you know, look, I'll be the first to say, it's better for the sport when Kentucky, Duke, Kansas, Michigan State, Carolina, when they're all relevant, okay? It's better for the sport. Having said this, if one of those programs or two of those programs are not performing well, it shouldn't change the way that we evaluate them because of their name brand. Last year, I was on the record with about 4 weeks left in the season that North Carolina did not belong in the NCAA tournament. And they did not belong in the NCAA tournament.
They did not.
And they didn't make it. Now, I could have been wrong. They were obviously one of the first four out. So, you know what? I could have been very wrong on that, and I would have been – I honestly, that would have been the committee awarding a name brand because of their name brand. So I just, sometimes I think there's certain really, really strong programs that don't get covered because their name's not Duke, Kentucky, or Carolina. And it's not to say that Kentucky, Duke, and Carolina don't move the needle and shouldn't be covered. But sometimes we get lazy and we forget some of the storylines so that then when stuff does happen in March, a lot of people are shocked, but it's like, no, if you've been following this team throughout the season, you wouldn't be as shocked as you are.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like FAU was like a big version of that last year where they made that run. And I remember even people that follow sports pretty closely were like, where did this FAU team come from? I'm like, that shouldn't happen if you follow college basketball throughout the first 2 months of the season.
No, you know, I'm just that to me is that's wrong. And then, you know, I mean, I think the thing that would bother me is when people play favorites. You know, I'm not a fan of that. I mean, I'm part of the national media, and I will say I believe that some coaches and players are liked more than others. Now, are there some coaches who are more giving of their time? Absolutely. I'm not going to sit here and lie about that. And are those coaches easier to cover? Yes. But we should not have agendas. We should not have agendas. Let me tell you something right now. I do not sit down at my laptop and think, what? And I know people are going to roll their eyes at this, but I'm telling you right now, I do not sit at my laptop and say, what's going to make people angry? You know, that is not why I'm in this business. I'm in this business to tell you my thoughts and to tell you my takeaways based on watching basketball.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly right. And I mean, I think naturally there's always going to be some sort of bias, whether you want to admit it or not. Like, it's just natural things that people do. And that's why there is data that supports, you know, statistics obviously support what team is better, what team is worse. But then you have to factor in human emotion into it as well. That's why, like, on KenPom, the human poll that they do, it's kind of a way to bypass the bias that there is with people in voting, right? So overall, like, I could sit here and admit that Duke is going to win the ACC, Kansas is going to win the Big 12, Kentucky probably won't win the SEC this year, in my opinion. That's okay. I could sit here and admit that as a Kentucky fan. Some people can't handle that, and so when national media will admit to those things, they just think it's a bias against Kentucky or whatever. You'll find that I'm a little bit more reasonable. I just like to troll sometimes from the Beers and Buckets account. And you just happened to see the one tweet that I did troll you on. So you caught me, but for the better. I hope it's for the better. So.
Oh, it is. It's for the better. It's for the better. And, you know, we can acknowledge the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is that I didn't rank Kentucky in my Fox Sports preseason top 25. And I'm going to tell you two things right now. If Kentucky goes out and beats Kansas in the Champions Classic, I'll issue an apology. I'll come right back on your show and eat my words. By the same token, fellas, if Kentucky loses to Kansas, I'm not going to say, I was right, you're all wrong. Yeah. You know why? Kansas is number one in the country. I'm not putting that on Kentucky. I'm not that. I will wait and see. And if they prove that they belong in the top 20, I'm not even saying top 25. If they prove that they belong there, you best believe I'll have them there. And I don't wish any ill will upon Big Blue Nation, and hope that Kentucky wins as many games as they want them to win, which is every one of them. But,
where do you have Kentucky right now? Obviously, top 25 is, especially whenever you're just like releasing it on Twitter like that, like, you obviously don't get a like others receiving votes kind of deal. So they literally could have been 26th. And if they're not in the top 25, they don't show up. Where do you have them ranked right now?
They're a top 30 to 35 team for me. You know, they're just outside of the top 25. They're not a top 25 team right now. And that's solely because I am not going to sit here and put a team in my top 20 because they have the number one recruiting class in the country. I'm just not going to – Not when you pair that with what I see what the transfer portal brought. It's not like that was otherworldly, okay? Getting Antonio Reeves to stay, huge. I mean, God, that you can't overstate that. Yeah. And bringing in Trey Mitchell, quality addition. No question about it. But I have to say, I am concerned about Aaron Bradshaw's injury, and I hope that everything pans out okay. But all I remember hearing from John Calipari over the summer was he thought Bradshaw could be the best shooter of the freshmen, which struck me. Which struck me. I mean, it did. I mean, that statement struck me. And so for me, I am. It's BS that people say that Dillingham and Wagner can't play together. That's a stale take. I believe they can play together. And maybe by January, Kentucky will be a top 25 team. But when they take the floor on November 6th, I don't think they are one of the best 25 teams in America. And if I'm wrong, I will gladly eat my words and tell you I was wrong. I'm not one of these people who doesn't admit to stuff and believes I'm holier than thou. I know I'm not. But right now, the team has more questions than answers. And if you disagree with that, I don't know what to tell you, because you can't. The only reason why you would be saying that the team has more answers than questions is you would be saying that these freshmen are going to be outstanding, and shame on me for not counting on them. But I've been told too many times and taught too many times watching the sport that it is very hard for freshmen, no matter how great they are, in November to just be coasting at the college level.
That's fair. I think one of the biggest reasons why people, at least from my timeline, could see was that you had St. John's High And you have Kentucky not in the top 25. And yep. then you had cited your sources. Well, they brought in a bunch of talent. They have a Hall of Fame coach and things along that nature. And so a lot of people just took that and ran with it.
Absolutely.
But bringing in a ton of talent as freshmen and bringing in a ton of transfer portal talent are very different things, as we've seen across the board. And especially when, I mean, the last few recruiting classes have just been down overall, with about highlighted by one or two really good players, you know, Paolo Mancaro, Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, you know, those kind of things. But over across the board, the freshman classes have been kind of like, they haven't been the Anthony Davises of the world, or, you know, go back further, John Wall and Boogie and, you know, things like that. So I think Kentucky fans have that hope, when really it hasn't proven to be that way in a while.
Let me ask you a question. Who would you rather have coaching your team this season, Rick Pitino or John Calipari?
I don't know, man.
John Calipari, just – I don't even know if it – I think he's probably a better coach. But I also just, like, don't want to cheer for the person that Rick Pitino is in the slightest. But, I mean, we saw in years, even when their talent was pretty comparable – that John Calipari outcoached Rick Pitino in their regular season and postseason matchups. So I'm taking John Calipari, but I know I'm higher on Cal than most.
Yeah, you are. I'm probably going to take neither. If I had to choose one to be in, like, X's and O's, I think the game has passed by both of them a little bit. I think Cal recruits better. And so for that reason, I'll side with Cal in that scenario. But X's and O's, I think the game has passed by both of them. I might even take Richard Pitino.
I'll say this. If you walked inside St. John's practice facility and you saw where that program's located, and then you looked at the talent that Pitino got to St. John's, this campus is not in the middle of Manhattan. It's in Jamaica, Queens.
Yep,
there's a reason why St. John's basketball has not done anything in over two decades. He hasn't coached a game yet, but he has totally transformed that program in 6 months' time.
Absolutely, yeah. My dad was a huge Pitino fan. I'm still a Pitino fan. It's just like Dal said, it's hard to root for the person sometimes with the allegations and things that have been surrounding him. But as far as coaching goes, I still think he's there. Again, I think the game has passed by him a little bit. But either way, let's move on a little bit. This is Beers and Buckets. We got to ask the question: if you partake in consuming alcoholic beverages, what's your favorite, or do you have a favorite beer or anything along those lines?
Well, for me, look, I love Miller Lite. I know it's simple, but I'm a Miller Lite guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Great Lakes in Cleveland. I love Dortmunder. I love their Great Lakes Christmas Ale. If you've never had it, folks, you got to try it. Put some cinnamon on the rim of the glass, and your life will be changed.
There we go. We got one to review, Dal. We'll try that
there we
later.
Go,
around great, the time.
Great Lakes, baby. Great Lakes Brewing is what I'm having. I'll have a Sam Adams Oktoberfest. I like a Corona. During the summer, I'm a Corona machine.
Awesome. Yeah, Corona's great, especially with the lime, especially in draft. Absolutely, I'm with you on that.
The best.
All right, and so let's move on a little bit.
Wait, you have one more question.
I have one more question. I didn't think you might want to answer, but here we go. The moving pictures that you see on Twitter and other social media websites, how do you pronounce the name of that?
GIFs.
Oh, okay. Well, you lost some points for me there, because the
GIF man.
Like, yeah, I'm a GIF
like
man.
Peanut butter or something.
I'm a GIF man.
I've heard
people call it both too. Tomato, tomato.
I'm a flip flopper. There you go.
Yeah.
GIF. I'll call it a GIF just because you told me to.
There you go. all right. So, and then real quick, I'm looking at AP poll dropped today. I compared your top 25 to the AP poll, because I think AP poll is obviously there's flaws within it. You know, people definitely have biases, but it tried to eliminate those. Excuse me. Some noticeable differences. FAU is a little, well, I guess there's one spot difference. I'd say the one noticeable difference between your poll and the AP poll would be Villanova. You have them at 14. AP poll has them at 22. We kind of already touched on Villanova a little bit. You are lower on Tennessee than the AP poll is, and you're higher on San Diego State. Now, talk about San Diego State a little bit. They did lose the talent from the, you know, from that team that won, you know, national runner up there. What do you expect to see from them this season?
I don't know. I think people are really, I got to be honest with you. This is dumb. I don't know what people are looking at, but this team brings back three of their top four scorers.
That's fair.
I mean, what are we doing? What are we looking at here? That what national runner-up would bring three of their top four scorers back, add in Reese Dixon Waters from the transfer portal, have Lamont Butler, right? Have Jaden Ledee. And now you're telling me that they're not? What were they ranked in the AP?
They are ranked, where do they have them? 17.
That's bogus.
You have them at 12.
That's crap, man. That is non-blue blood bias right there. That's wrong. I'm telling you right now. That team deserves to be in the top 15 for what they bring back, for how tough they are, for the kind of players that they've got. I'm sorry. That's a miss by the Associated Press voters.
It's funny you say that because one spot above them at 16th is Kentucky in the AP poll. So blue blood bias right there in front of it.
Look, I'm you know what? I'm not faulting them for ranking Kentucky 16th, but I'm sorry, man. If you're going to tell me that a national runner up brought three of their top four scorers back and I didn't name that national runner up and I said, where would you rank them? There's no chance you'd have them ranked worse than 12th.
Yeah, that's a top 10 team for sure. Just with that as the pitch, I will miss. So my little sister goes to San Diego State, so I end up watching more of their games probably than normal. Got to see a couple of their games live last year. I will miss Matt Bradley a lot on that team.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean Jay Powell and Reese Waters both should be great additions to that starting five.
I think one of the issues, one of the things that I'm looking at here on KenPom last year, their offense was ranked 75th in the nation with effective field goal percentage. They were 238th in the nation for the season last year. Losing Matt Bradley does hurt, obviously. But when you're talking about returning three of the four leading scorers on an offense that wasn't overly effective in the grand scheme of things, however, they obviously they made the national title game. But they made it on defense. So I don't think I think that's probably what's coming into play there a little bit is the fact that they just weren't a super effective offense. It was their best offense was their defense.
Sure, I could see that reasoning, but I don't think it's right to have them outside of top 15. That's just my personal opinion.
I'm with you.
And we'll see where they end up. I mean, look, could they come back down to earth? Of course, it's college basketball. There's a randomness to this sport. There is. It's about being hot at the right time and
absolutely.
being able to stay healthy in the long and winding marathon. But I'm sorry, Lamont Butler, Darian Trammell, Reese Dixon Waters, Micah Parrish, and Jaden Ledee. I like that team too much to have them outside of my top 15.
I'm with you. They definitely should be top 15, especially replacing Matt Bradley. They replaced him well. So yeah, I'm with you on that. One more team I want to highlight real quick, and then we'll kind of move on and get you going. Maryland in your top 25, but not in the AP top 25. Talk about Maryland for a second. Why you think you got it right here when the AP poll missed it? Because I'm with you on this one. I think Maryland is snubbed from this poll.
Yeah, I mean, they made it to the second round of the NCAA tournament a year ago. They bring back their starting point guard, Jameer Young. They've got Julian Reese back on the interior. They've got Dante Scott, one of the most underrated players in the Big Ten, back at the four. So you have your starting point guard, your starting front court. They went and got two high-level freshmen, Jamie Kaiser and Deshaun Harris-Smith. Deshaun Harris-Smith is the most gifted freshman Kevin Willard has coached. That's what he told me last week. I like the way that they've got the blend of experience and newcomers. Jordan Geronimo is a really underrated transfer. He didn't have a big role in Indiana, guys. We don't know why that is. You know, sometimes things just don't mesh. Willard tells me that Geronimo's been a breath of fresh air on both ends of the floor and will be a good defender. At the end of the day, he was recruited by Indiana. It's not like he doesn't have talent. He's got some untapped potential there. So, look, I love a team with a fifth-year point guard. I love a team with a stout big man in Reese. And I like a team that brings in some highly touted players who will blend in with that experience. And I like a team that Kevin Willard showed in year one at Maryland. He showed previously at Seton Hall that he knows what he's doing. He knows how to get a lot out of, you know, a lot out of a little. But this team doesn't have a little. This team has substantial talent. That was a miss by the Associated Press to not have Maryland in the top 25.
Absolutely agree with that. All right, Dal, do you have any other questions before we move on to fan questions?
No, we can hit the fan question side up.
All right. So we have at Trevor Everett ask, what are you most looking forward to from this upcoming season? Is there a particular game that you are attending or event, et cetera? So what are you looking forward to? We know that you're obviously traveling right now and hitting all these previews. So what are you most looking forward to this upcoming season?
Georgetown and Providence. Ed Cooley's return to Rhode Island. It's going to be wild. Baby. It's going to be nuts. The Providence faithful will be all over him. It will be quite a scene. And then I'm looking forward to March 2nd, Michigan State at Purdue, inside Mackey Arena. Zach Edey's last week of the regular season. He gets to face Tom Izzo and the Spartans at Mackey and West Lafayette in a Saturday night game. I am pumped for that game. I'm pumped for both those games. I cannot wait. And I'm excited for Duke to visit Arkansas in the SEC-ACC Challenge.
Yeah, those are all three going to be fantastic, fantastic games and must-watch TV for sure.
Here, actually, can you talk me off the ledge a little bit here? Apparently, in a secret/not-so-secret scrimmage, Wake Forest gave up let one of Georgetown's new players score 46 points on them, and they lost. Is Georgetown going to be good this year? What are your thoughts?
I think Georgetown's probably a bubble team. I think I don't know if they're going to make the NCAA tournament. I don't think they'll make it this year. Just because I don't know about their front court. I mean, look, with Wake Forest, they lost Tyree Appleby. You know, they've got some intriguing talent, but I don't know who their alpha is. The fact is, look, if Jaden Epps performs like an all-Big East guard and breaks out for Ed Cooley, then Cooley's going to have a chance because Ed Cooley's shown it with Bryce Cott, Kyron Cartwright, Chris Dunn. He knows how to get it done with high-level guards. You know, if Epps pans out, then maybe Georgetown will have a puncher's chance to make the tournament. I just don't trust their front court for the marathon.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am with Wake, too. They should have really good guard play, but what's going to really kind of make or break their season is the front court as well there.
Definitely. I do have a quick question, and not one that we had written down, but we're talking about the Big East a little bit, and you're talking about Ed Cooley and Georgetown. We had talked about in our Big East episode, Ed Cooley versus Kim English, and, you know, like with their new team, respective new teams, which one will meet or exceed their expectations there this season first?
Yeah, I mean, look, I like Providence more than I like Georgetown heading into this year. I think Bryce Hopkins could be a Big East player of the year, could be an All-American. Devin Carter's one of the better two-way guards in college basketball. The key for Providence is their big man, Josh Oduro. He comes to Providence from George Mason. He follows his coach, Kim English. And I think the other key for the Friars is point guard play. Can Jaden Pierre step up and be that guy? If it's not him, how do they piece that together? I like Corey Floyd quite a bit. I'll tell you what, Garway Duel could be the best freshman in the Big East. Keep an eye on Garway Duel of the Providence Friars.
That kind of answers one of our other questions from our fan question. Us from Screen the Screener podcast ask, best Big East freshman. And so, I mean, do you think he's the best Big East freshman, or is there another contender there?
Stephon Castle of Connecticut is my top Big East freshman.
There you go. All right, Dal, you want to take the next one?
Yeah, Castle's definitely going to have a nice role there on UConn to really have an impact. On the UConn side, Matt Grossenbach asked if you're picking, and I think I know your answer from listening to a couple of your spots the last couple hours, but if you're picking the Big East winner, are you picking UConn or the field?
The field.
Yeah.
I mean, that's because UConn lost to Dama Sinogo, Andre Jackson, and Jordan Hawkins. And you could come back and say, look what we have now, and I don't disagree with you. But Marquette, Creighton, I mean, Villanova, those three teams are all capable of winning the Big East. I'm not going to pick one on three. If UConn wins the Big East, that's extremely impressive considering what they lost and considering the fact that they don't have they lost multiple NBA draft picks. Now, they have that again, but not as much experience. This UConn team is not as experienced. Now, Cam Spencer from Rutgers was a great add. And Stephon Castle could be a spectacular player. The Donovan Clingan foot injury, look, I hope it doesn't linger. I don't think it will. But is it a natural concern when a big guy has a foot injury? Yes, it is. So for UConn, I like them a lot. I think they're a very good team. But I'm not taking them against the field in the Big East. That's how good the Big East is.
Agreed. Absolutely. For sure. Agree. All right. And then our last question.
Our last one is not as serious.
Yeah, not serious at all. It stems off of a question from at Matt Sack, R2NG. He asked you your favorite Fanta flavor. We went as far as to say, can you power rank the Fanta flavors going with orange, strawberry, cherry, grape, and pineapple?
Strawberry one, orange two, pineapple three, and I'm missing grape. And what?
Cherry.
Oh, wait. Cherry one, orange two, strawberry three, pineapple four, grape five.
There you go. From forgotten to first, cherry sweeps it. Wow.
I don't incredible. Like grape. And then,
absolutely last question. How sick of the Fanta song have you been your entire life?
You know what? I'm not sick of it. I haven't heard it in a while. But I know that Big Blue Nation does not want a Fanta. But Big Blue Nation, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm going to be honest with you. And you know what? I hope that you have a great season. My DMs are always open. My mentions are always open. And I'm here to have dialogue. I'm not going to shut you down. I'm not going to shut you out. You guys have seen it here. I came on your podcast. I'd be happy to come on again. Kentucky, if Kentucky's backcourt could coexist, and if Bradshaw ends up okay, then yes, I could see a window. I love Justin Edwards. I love his potential. I could see the Wildcats being a team that's in the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. But it's put-up time now. I mean, let's call it what it is. It's time for Kentucky to show us all that they're even better than 16. Why stop there? Show me that you've got that it factor, Kentucky, and I'll admit I'm wrong.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us tonight.
Go ahead. I have one more question. So we've been going through – we've actually been kind of following the college – the almanacs thing of having, you know, transfer player, breakout player. Who is your breakout player of the year across all of college basketball? And you can define that however you want.
Bruce Thornton, Ohio State University. I like him to break out. I think he's poised for a big year. If you look at his last eight games last season, he averaged about 16-4 per game as a freshman. He was terrific down the stretch for Chris Ullman's team. Ohio State had a rough year, but Thornton was a bright spot late. I expect that to transition into this season.
Huh. I'm excited to see how Scotty Middleton does. I know Sam Vecenie is really high on his pro prospects. So Ohio State has a couple exciting guys to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I really like those guys. I think that the Buckeyes will be able to be an intriguing team. You know, I think that the country might know a little bit about him, but I'm excited for Wade Taylor again, you know, at Texas A&M. I expect him to become more of a household name.
I agree with that. I watched him closely last year, only got better throughout the season, and then obviously had an amazing SEC tournament run there. So, yeah, he was really good. All right. Well, John, we don't want to take up any more of your time. We appreciate you coming on tonight. And as you're driving, please drive safely, obviously. And we look forward to talking to you more, talking more hoops later on. And we, again, appreciate you coming on the show and giving us small, you know, your big flat platform using for our small podcast. So we appreciate that.
Thank you guys for having me anytime. Here's to an outstanding college basketball season. And Big Blue Nation, stay classy and never change.
Sounds great. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, John.
Thanks.
All right, so that was our interview with John Fanta, Field of 68, and college basketball on Fox. That was better than I expected it to be. I didn't go too hard on him as far as like wanting to make him disconnect on the call, but he definitely had some more reasonable opinions and takes than I thought he would explain in person, and that's why we don't just judge everybody based off their Twitter, right? But what did you think of the interview, Dale?
Yeah, no. I mentioned it on the call. I had been listening to a couple of his spots on Field of 68. I actually listened to a Barstool podcast. I know, but he was on Mark Titus's show recently, so that was one of his most recent spots. So I actually listened to some of that. Which, if you know anything about me, you know that is very antithetical to who I am. But no, I thought it was good. I mean, like you said, as long as you have good, like, rationale, I'm fine with most takes. And I think he's definitely essentially just kind of playing the wait and see game. Not that he doesn't think that Kentucky couldn't reach a top 15, kind of ranking, but he just wants to kind of see it to believe it sort of thing, which is very fair.
It's fair, especially given the recent history of Kentucky. And this is actually, like, AP preseason number 15 or 16 is the lowest under Calipari to start a season.
Is it really?
It is. It is the lowest under Calipari for Kentucky to start a season.
That's really dumb. But
it's dumb, but it isn't at the same time. I think it's because of it's a recency bias in terms of, like, I mean, they started season.
Oh, I just mean it's dumb that they weren't ranked lower in other seasons because some of those teams are clearly not as good as this team. But,
maybe. Unfortunately, I'd hate to say it, but maybe. You know, like I think 16 is like right there. I would have actually had them probably around 18. I think you're just relying on so many freshmen to contribute instantly. And not necessarily the case. I mean, obviously they look good in Global Jam, but they're playing against superior, like, definitely better competition come November than they are, you know, where in July. Yeah. And again, like he said, this is talking about night one starting. Night one starting, they might not have Aaron Bradshaw or Ugonna Onyenzo. You know, we're not sure what they have. So I think it's a fair rating for him to say outside of the top 25. I just like giving people crap on Twitter, and that's what happened. And it worked out for the better for us.
You did?
Yeah.
You got to cyberbully people more.
I should, probably, but I also just not that person. One time I do, I felt really bad. He's like, wow, he saw this. anyway, speaking of social media, you should follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Beers and Buckets Pod. I tried to convince Morgan, who is my wife. If you don't know my wife's name, her name is Morgan. Tried to convince her to do a Morgan Tries It or a Moe's Hops review or something along those lines. Couldn't get her to do it tonight, but I promise you, sometime this week, she's going to try this Tripping Animals Brewing Pumpkindelic, and it's going to be great. It's going to be a TikTok series. Again, we're going to be more active on the socials here soon beyond just X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it. So also had another idea, Dal, that we'll probably end up doing is breaking our segments up on our episode. Like, we'll post a full episode on YouTube, but you could also just catch each segment as a separate video on YouTube as well. So make sure you check those out. And then, yeah, if you're watching this on YouTube, like, rate, and share this episode. Please, please like this video because it helps with the algorithm. Yes. And sharing it obviously helps too. And so check out the other sports on Variety Sport or other shows on Variety Sports Network. They have some fantastic shows. I was listening to Hoop Southbound today. The Ole Miss episode preview was great. Those guys are super knowledgeable in the SEC hoops if you're interested in a deep dive of those. And they're also going coast to coast with other they have hoops coast to coast is what it's called. But there's other shows that go into the NFL, into certain teams In the NFL, they have baseball shows and everything you can think of. These are fans, you know, it's shows by the fans for the fans kind of deal, similar to us. So check those out. They have great shows on there. Dowd, do you have anything you want to shout out before we head out of here?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't have any. I don't have anything I think really pressing. Shout out John Fanta for coming on. Yeah, it was a blast. And yeah, shout out U.S. Men's National Team for playing a game in Nashville so that I get to see them in person.
There you go. Yeah, enjoy the game tomorrow night, man. I appreciate you you doing this tonight so that you can enjoy the game tomorrow night.
Of course.
But I also don't have to skip basketball tomorrow night now that we recorded tonight. So let's go. Shout out to John Fanta for joining the show and being the bigger person for not just dismissing us because we didn't like his take. So, or he didn't like our take, I should say. So yeah, we appreciate that. And, this has been the bottom line because Connor said so. You guys have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you on Friday. Hopefully we have a new episode. I think we'll be previewing the Pac-12 ? Final Pac-12 episode. Yeah, let's do the Pac-12. Even though I do have a take about that, we'll get to it. Pac-12 episode. You guys have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you later.
Peace.